What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, we're having some technical difficulties with Mike D'Atelier there. Charlie Long, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bobby, while I'm trying to get Mike pulled up here, you know, it was a very interesting divisional round in the NFL this past weekend. We got our AFC and NFC championship games set up for this weekend. But, you know, I think there's been a lot of, I guess, spice around the league about the officiating this past weekend. Bobby, I want to start there, and specifically Kansas City and Houston, the first game of the weekend. I just want to get your thoughts on what happened in that matchup.
Well, I don't know. Pat Mahomes is going to get a lot of calls to go his way. You know, whether he exaggerates, you know, to get calls to go in his favor. But to beat the champs, you have to beat the champs. Maybe the officials can be involved in that. But this is interesting, Charlie. Steve Geller sent me this, and I know you're probably aware of this, is that that's why you got to look beyond the stats. Oh, Hebert, what are you talking about? You always look at the stats. Yes, but you have to look at the stats and what occurs, and then you kind of piecemeal it together, the puzzle together, what happened. But you look at the Texans, outgained the Chiefs by 224 yards and didn't commit a turnover. And if you look at it, in the history of the NFL, if you have 100 or more yards than your opponent and zero turnovers, the previous record was 49-0 when that was 49-1. You know what really is disheartening? If I don't know if I've ever seen or saw or witnessed this, the Texans special teams was horrendous. They were terrible. You know how you want to win in all phases, offense, defense, and special teams? Well, the Texans definitely did not get that done. And I think, like I said, Pat Mahomes will get the benefit of the doubt. If you look at Pat Mahomes, his career in divisional rounds, he's 7-0. He's thrown for a little over 2,000 yards, 17 total touchdowns, zero turnovers. Oh, what did Jared Goff do? Turn over the football. What did Lamar Jackson do? Turn over the football. It's not, you know, a slam dunk. You know, that giveaway-takeaway ratio, but it does come into play. And you go with that, Mahomes having a quarterback rating basically of 114. So it didn't surprise me that the Chiefs came out on top. And, I mean, I don't know. You could take play both sides of the fence on this one, because I think it would be unique if the Chiefs are able to three-peat and to win three championships in a row. That's hard to do in the NFL. Just ask the Buffalo Bills. They went to four straight Super Bowls and never won. So you might say, oh, well, we got to throw Buffalo a bone. You know, they've been to four straight Super Bowls. It's tough to even get there, but they haven't won it. So if you're looking for a dark horse, what I mean by dark horse or an underdog, and the Lions were that team, you know, the only NFC team to never go to a Super Bowl, where you look at the Bills, they've never won a Super Bowl. So if you look at the remaining teams, oh, you might, well, Bobby, what about Jane Daniels and Washington Commanders? Yeah, but they've won Super Bowls before. They were in the late 80s, early 90s. The Washington Redskins are one of the best teams ever under Joe Gibbs. So they've already had it, have been there, done that. Now, if you're truly going to back a team that and a loyal fan base, I mean, to me, it would be the Buffalo Bills, not the Eagles. The Eagles... they've gotten there, and, you know, they've won a Super Bowl and all that. The Bills are the team, really, if you're looking for the underdog syndrome. And if you're looking for history, you definitely would want the Kansas City Chiefs. If you look at Pat Mahomes, and it's been now that throughout the season, he threw for just 177 yards. You know, it was nothing special, but that's how they've won the whole season. You know, they beat Houston 23-14, and look, they advanced to the AFC Championship game. Okay, this is not by accident. They advanced seven consecutive seasons. You know how hard that is to do? If you just won seven double-digit seasons, let's say you just get the 10 wins. Now we, like, you were 10-7, how hard that is. Well, they've gone to AFC Championship now seven consecutive seasons. You look at Kelsey. I don't know. He's a playoff Kelsey, whether he's motivated by his girlfriend, Taylor Swift, or whatever. She's always watching in the suite. And then you got WNBA star Caitlin Clark hanging out in the suite with Taylor Swift. Kelsey goes for 7 catches, 117 yards. So you look at the Chiefs right now, are the fourth team in NFL history. Again, Charlie, you know how I love history. The Chiefs are the fourth team in NFL history to follow back-to-back Lombardi trophies by advancing to the conference title and the three previous loss. So that being said, I think Buffalo has a chance to go on the road and upset Kansas City and Kansas City at Arrowhead.
Bobby, I got a fun stat for you. NFL on CBS put this out there. The most playoff wins by a quarterback without a Super Bowl start. You know, there's a couple guys with five, like Mark Brunell, Phillip Rivers, at seven, Josh Allen. Kansas City seems to be the one hump he can't get over in the postseason. We'll see if he can do it this year.
Well, remember the one game.
The 13-second game?
Yes, he takes the lead with 13 seconds. He don't play defense. And isn't, look at their head coach. He's a defensive coach.
Sean McDermott,
Sean McDermott's a defensive coach. Come on, coach.
We talked to Buffalo reporters as well, like leading up into the weekend of matchups against Baltimore, because we all anticipated it was going to be a great game, and it lived up to the expectations. But basically what they kept saying is that, yes, Josh Allen hasn't gotten over the hump. He hasn't gotten to the Super Bowl yet. But almost all of those losses that they've suffered haven't necessarily been on him. It's been their defense that's let him down in the playoffs. So
right.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we can get, you know, Josh Allen to the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and Buffalo can make it back and potentially win their first. I would much rather see that than see Kansas City win their third straight.
Well, you look, the Vikings have been to the Super Bowl four times. They've never won. But the Bills went four straight seasons to the Super Bowl. And really, out of those four seasons, I can recall this, the only one, I think, was the very first where wide right, you know, when they should have beat the Giants. But the other three, no, they were not the better team. So they should be 1-3, but woulda, coulda, shoulda, and all that. But you look at, you know how I love Joe Montana. That was my heyday and all that. And, you know, I told you that I played Joe Montana 11 times, only won two. So I'm like 2-9. Well, looking at Mahomes, improved to 16-3 in the playoffs, tying Joe Montana for the second most wins in NFL history, the only behind Tom Brady. And like I said before, he's 7-0 in divisional round. So now, this is a feel-good. Who hates Andy Reid? I don't think nobody would dislike Andy Reid. It's like, come on, you're just a hater if you don't like Andy Reid. Well, look at Andy Reid. Mahomes helped Andy Reid become the fourth NFL coach with 300 career wins. So you look at that great accomplishment. Now, you look at what happened in Orchard Park in the Buffalo game. And I picked the Ravens. Charlie, I don't know. Who did you pick? Did you pick Buffalo?
I also had Baltimore. Mike was the only one. Mike, I believe you had Buffalo. I think we got Mike ready to go here.
Yeah.
So, Mike, you were the only one that picked Buffalo. So congratulations on that win in pick six. I think everyone else had Baltimore in that matchup.
Yeah, because what it was like 1.5.
1.5 on the road. They were favorites. But Buffalo came out on top in a very fun game last night.
Well, the difference is Buffalo's defense forced 3 turnovers.
Yeah.
To me, you look at Mark Andrews. Boy, talk about something. You know, you could be awesome and have a great football career, but people tend to remember the negative. When he fumbled and he dropped the 2-point conversion pass, and that was 1:33 left. Now, maybe Josh Allen will come back, but then you look so close but so far again. But, you know, the 2-time defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs, you bet against the Chiefs, you get burned. It's almost like the Tom Brady century, a scenario in the 21st century. But if you look at Buffalo now, they snapped a 3-year run of being eliminated in divisional round. So I just think, well, watch out for the Bills going forward. And, you know, Buffalo has been eliminated by the Chiefs in 3 of the past 4 postseasons. So it's going to be interesting to see what's actually occurred. Now, look at Baltimore. Lamar Jackson might win a three-peat MVP. But unless you're winning championships, people tend, again, dwell on the negative instead of the positive. Oh, how many championships Lamar won? It didn't matter if he won 3 MVPs. But Baltimore now fell to 5-8 in divisional round, including 1-4 in the last 5. So, and if you look at it, and like I said, Buffalo defense forced 3 turnovers. You know, Charlie, how I love this, and Mike. Buffalo finished their regular season with a league best plus 24 in the turnover differential. That's way beyond double digits. You know, I said, like, when the Saints, it was a shame, the previous season in 23 were a plus 11. I said, come on, you should be a postseason team. Well, they were a plus 24, but then when it counted, they, you know, Buffalo was able to force three turnovers, and you know, that's the key right there. Buffalo finished their regular season with a league best plus 24. That's why I kind of like him against the Chiefs. They might be opportunistic and come out on top, but, you know, this is hard to do also. You want to take care of home field. You know, I always say this with the Saints, dome field advantage and how you got it. You can't be 500. I'm not saying you got to be perfect, but the Bills were perfect at home. They closed their season a perfect 10-0 at home, including, you remember, week 11, they won 30-21 over the previously unbeaten Chiefs. So whenever you beat somebody, you know, you got to beat a, you got to beat a man, you got to beat the man. I'm intrigued, you know, with the Bills versus the Chiefs. If you go by what occurred in the regular season, but it's at Kansas City, you say, oh, yeah, the Bills could beat them.
The Bills have found the regular season success against Kansas City. It's just been the postseason.
Right,
they
exactly.
haven't been able to get over the hump, and that's ultimately what matters. And, you know, looking at it early, you don't bet against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites at home against Buffalo in the AFC Championship game. So I can't wait for it. But, Mike, kind of what's your early read on that?
Yeah, again, you got to beat them. And that's why I like the Chiefs. I'll be honest with you. Listen, I'm a big Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills fan. But, man, you know, it's hard to win three in a row. But it's also hard to jump that emotional ditch. And that's what the Bills have against the Chiefs. Not so much in the regular season, postseason. With everything is on the line, the Chiefs find a way to win. It's been ugly at times. They just find a way to win. I was really surprised how well the Texans moved the football against them. Now, they couldn't a lot of times finish the deal against the Chiefs defense, but I was really surprised of how well C.J. Stroud and the Texans moved the football.
And they didn't turn it over,
really,
Mike.
They moved a good job.
And they didn't turn it over. They outgained the Chiefs by 224 yards. If you'd have just told me that, they're not going to turn it over. I said, oh, the Texans are going to upset the Chiefs. But I don't know. Until it happens, you don't know. And that's why it's until it happens with the Ravens, you don't know. You know who's the Rodney Dangerfield of quarterbacks as far as if you're a Ravens fan base? Don't get enough respect. Joe Flacco. Look at this. Mike, I thought this was interesting because you look at Jayden Daniels, what he's doing in Washington with the Commanders. Unbelievable. Then you look at Joe Flacco. I thought this was interesting. Only two rookie quarterbacks to ever beat a number one seed in the playoffs. You know, everyone plays for the number one seed. You know, to have that bye, to have the home field advantage. Now, Joe Flacco, they beat the Titans and the Ravens. Joe Flacco and the Ravens beat the Titans back in 2009. And Jayden Daniels, with the Commanders, upset the Lions on Saturday night. So, Mike, it's unbelievable, but I'm telling you, you know, people say, like, oh, well, Bobby, why are you not maybe for Jayden Daniels and the Washington Commanders? Because I still view the Washington Commanders as the Redskins. They've had past success. Now, they haven't, what have you done for them lately? Nothing. You know, they're in the NFC Championship, they're in the NFC Championship game for the first time since 1991 season. Mike, that's when I was playing. That's when I was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That's how long ago that was. To show you how Washington has been irrelevant. And, boy, you don't think the quarterback makes a difference? Jayden Daniels, talk about smooth as silk. It doesn't get any better than this, but I'm looking at, okay, how in the hell then they didn't win more at LSU? Because the defense was so freaking sorry. You look at what we played in the Relia Quest Bowl. We had Jayden Daniels, Malik Nabis, Brian Thomas Jr. You want to talk about an underachieving college team with Jayden Daniels. Boy, LSU screwed the pooch on that one because Jayden Daniels is unbelievable. He is so special. And right now, like all the remaining quarterbacks, this is an argument. I don't care if he's a rookie or not. Who's played better than Jayden Daniels? I think he might be number one right now. I'm not talking about a career and what you've established. I'm talking about this season, this playoffs. Jayden Daniels has played better than Pat Mahomes, played better than all of them left. I mean, it's unbelievable what Jayden Daniels to me has done. So, Again, the franchise, they've had past success. But that'll be interesting to see, you know, to go to Philadelphia. And when we come back from the break, Mike, we got to talk about Saquon Barkley. You want to talk about chunk plays? He's the master of splash chunk plays. Boy, that might be the worst position you could ever put your franchise in. The Giants? The New York Football Giants?
They should fire Joe Shane because of, like, just watching what he's doing.
Right.
And the Rams, I mean, we all know that both matchups the Rams had against Saquon, they're still trying to chase him down. Right. They can't find him.
Yeah, he had he'd be amongst the greatest in Pro Football Hall of Fame history, just what he's done against the Rams.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's the greatest free agent pickup in the last 365 days. Right. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, Mr. Dave Hilbert. Dave, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Dave explained everything. I know we weren't able to do it live at the Slipper tonight, but a lot of that has to do with certainly some dynamics happening weather-wise. But kind of tell everybody who's not there exactly kind of how things are going to be happening at the Slipper over the next couple of days.
Well, Mike and Dave, we have to play like we live. Dave, we got to make Dave feel at home.
I got the grand prize of the stage bar. Anyway, so, you know, pretty much all the casinos are open. Everybody cut back to a skeleton crew. And that's, you know, so that employees don't get stranded when it starts to sleet, you know, in the middle of the night tonight. But casino is open. The buffets closed. The big restaurants are closed. Our palm courts open. So, it actually, you know, being President's Day today, Martin Luther King Day, I'm sorry, it's right in there. But I'm back home now to Dave Cave, you know, looking at all my memorabilia on the walls and had some great football. I've got all this. I got all that boxing stuff from the early 90 casino days.
Well, you know, Dave, Dave, I have a question for you because you follow football and you observe it. Mike, all of y'all can chime in on this one. As much as I love Joe Burrow, and look at the season Joe Burrow had this year. It was unbelievable they didn't make the postseason and how Joe Burrow's matured. I look at Jayden Daniels. What Jayden Daniels has done as a rookie, it is freaking unbelievable how poised he is. And listen, nothing against Joe Burrow, because it's like A and 1A or 1A and all. They're all like unbelievable. But Jayden Daniels, he's too cool for school. I mean, you talk about smooth as silk. I mean, Jayden Daniels, to me, now, are you looking at a rookie year? Pat Mahomes was very good. He was outstanding. I look at Joe Montana. Look at the history of the quarterbacks, Mike. You know that. Has anybody been as slick or looks like he's in control as a rookie as Jayden Daniels has?
No, not in my lifetime that I can remember. I remember Ben Roethlisberger had a great rookie season. But, man, you watch C.J. Stroud a year ago. Nobody's done it like what Jayden Daniels has. And I will say that I think when Roethlisberger went to Pittsburgh, he had a better supporting cast around him than what Jayden Daniels did. I've never seen a guy to be able to take over a team that he was the second overall pick in the draft, and he's made such a difference. And knowing him a little bit from his LSU days, just his work ethic, his attention to detail, he makes it look easy because he works so damn hard. People don't realize it's just not a natural skill. He works his butt off each and every day. And Coach Kelly told me this. He said, Mike, I had to run him out of the film room because he was here before we were here. And I'm talking about I'm talking about the coaches. That goes to show the dedication that Jayden Daniels has in his craft. You don't see that a lot.
Well, in
a first-year guy.
And, Mike, you look at it, and Dave and Charlie and everybody, you look at the supporting cast. I mean, you know, I look where, the supporting cast, where you ranked. I mean, there's nothing to write home about when you look at Washington's defense, where they're ranked. You know, they're in like the 20s. Look at scoring defense. Look at everything where they're at. That's why, to me, He is truly special. I think we are watching greatness. He will not have, to me, a sophomore slump like C.J. Stroud did. Now, C.J. Stroud, I think he played formidable and look in the postseason. There was a sophomore slump in the regular season. Listen, C.J. Stroud was outstanding as a rookie, but he wasn't no Jane Daniels. That's a difference. Jane Daniels is historical when you look at all rookie quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
I agree with you, and yeah. So just watch him. And, you know, he is so humble of a guy, too, because he does know and does realize he's got the fortunes of the Commanders on his back. Okay, Dan Quinn's done a great job. They've added some nice pieces on defense. This is all on the back of Jay Daniels. You can cut it a lot of different ways.
Yep.
That one you can't get around. He is the man there.
Yeah, there was some chat I heard over the weekend about just Brian Kelly really didn't know what he had, even though he was the one that got Jaden Daniels, but really didn't know what he had, and that, you know, that's one of the reasons they're talking about. Now, look, here's Notre Dame going to the national championship tonight, but Brian Kelly never got there.
Well, the thing is, Denbrock knew what they had.
Denbrock did.
Yeah. If you look at now, and he left LSU, and he goes to Notre Dame, if you look at Notre Dame's offense, Mike, I don't think Denbrock got enough credit because they talk about Notre Dame's defense, but they rank sixth in the country in scoring at 37 points per game. Now, they lack the dynamic passing attack, to say the least, but you have to look at the quarterback. You got to give Denbrock credit how they fit the scheme around their quarterback, Riley Leonard, and then a tough running game. I'm not saying they could beat Ohio State. But Denbrock, I think that was a big loss when he left LSU and went to Notre Dame. I mean, that right there to me tells me a lot what he knew with Jaden Daniels and then what he's done now with Riley Leonard. Obviously, it's like a poor man of Josh Allen, a big guy, like, yeah, aggressive like, you know, the Bills quarterback.
Bob, all I can tell you is I bet Jaden Daniels would love to play and have the Irish defense along the other side.
Oh, it would be national champs.
Yeah, you'd have a real shot at it. But, man, to think you got two first-round pick receivers. And to show you how good it is, those two guys played like seasoned veterans too. Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, it was like these guys have played in the NFL, and yet Brian, for the most part, he was sort of a one-hit wonder.
Right.
You didn't hear a lot about Brian up until last year, and then you saw his growth as a player. Now, Malik's done that for some time, but Brian was the revelation as a player at that wide receiver spot. He's not playing on a great Jacksonville team. They lost, but he was a winner.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a team sport, but he was a winner. Right.
Hey, tell everybody kind of what's happening. I know you got giveaways all month long at the Silver Slipper. And, man, before you know it, you got Valentine's Day. Everything's happening. But tell everybody a little bit about some of the giveaways that's happening at the Silver Slipper.
This Saturday night coming up is our first briefcase bankroll. We're giving away $25,000 in cash. Six people up on stage, and they each open up a briefcase, and the biggest one is $10,000 in cash. The lowest one is $1,000 in cash, but it's going to be a total of $25,000 in cash. And of course, we got live entertainment back. And this weekend during our giveaway, it's the King of Fat City, Harvey, Jesus, and Fire playing on the stage.
What?
We have our iPad giveaways. Yeah, Harvey, Jesus. Yep. From the Bounty.
Still rocking and rolling.
And we're giving away iPads every night from Sunday through Thursday, 7 p.m. You still get a chance to get those up. A Silver Slipper fleece jacket. We earned 4,000 points. That's a lot of points, but you had the entire month to earn it. And they're just looking forward to a great weekend and looking forward to another weekend of great football, man. And I think it's going to be, I'm hoping it's going to be a Super Bowl with Washington versus Kansas City.
Yeah, that would be intriguing, Washington versus, you know what?
Against the guy that's done it all. That would really be a great storyline.
Well, but then, yep. I don't know. I think it's wide open. I think, you know, don't bet against Washington because it's not a series. It's just one game. But when you look at Philadelphia and And you look at Buffalo, where they're at. All I know is with the Eagles right now, they have won. And really, they have not been that impressive overall when you look at their two playoff wins. But they have a complete team. That's why, to me, that I don't know. I think it's a monumental upset if Washington can go to Philly and win that game.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Bob. The other thing, too, is every time I watch the Eagles play in Jalen Carter, I think of Pete Jenkins. Pete was there with Georgia and working with Kirby Smart when they had, you know, those two big guys in the middle. But he told me what Jalen Carter might, when he figures out that he wants to play more than two or three downs out of 10, you better watch out because he's going to be lethal. Look what happened yesterday with everything on the line. Who made the defensive play?
Amen.
Jalen Carter.
Amen. Mike, when you look at Jalen Carter, I'm telling you, this is along the lines of like Aaron Donald. You look at throughout his career. But then with Chris Jones have done with the Chiefs to impact the outcome of the game. Jalen Carter, okay, it's third down. All of a sudden, he sacked Stafford. And then fourth down, look what he did. All of a sudden, he forces an incomplete pass on fourth down to end the threat, and it's over. So, no, why don't we have nobody like that with the Saints? I mean,
you ain't picking high enough to get Jalen Carter yet.
But you know what I'm saying, Mike? That, you don't think like, you always think like a quarterback or a skilled player or whatever. All I know is I look like the likes of Aaron Donald. I remember when he broke, when he whipped that Andrew Speed and he broke, I think Drew Brees' thumb. Remember when he hurt him? I look at Aaron Donald. Then look at Chris Jones, how he helped the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and the pass rush, how influenced. Well, Jalen Carter did that. So that's why, Jalen Carter might have something to do, maybe. Now, could Jane Daniels juke him, maybe, and be able to get away? Because Stafford wasn't doing no juking compared to what Jane Daniels could do.
Yeah, the only thing I remember, SEC championship game, Jalen Carter picks him up, and, man, everybody's screaming on the Georgia bench, don't dump him on his head, man, because he actually picked him up like his feet were moving, but he was way off the ground. Dave, thanks so much for joining us. Come on down to the Silver Slipper.
Come on down to Silver Slipper.
All right, Dave.
Who that?
All right, Dave.
All right,
who
Dave,
that?
Thank you. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bob, it looks as though Ben Johnson will be the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. They just have a few details to be worked out. Funny thing about that is, looks as though Johnson has been knowing this for quite some time because he has reached out to former Saints head coach and defensive coordinator Dennis Allen to be his new defensive coordinator with the Bears. So he stays in the division, and I think a lot of it having to do with cap money. He got a young quarterback he thinks he can develop, and Caleb Williams.
Yeah, come on. Listen, he would go with the Raiders if the Raiders had Caleb Williams. I don't care the allure of Tom Brady, part of the Raiders organization, but who in the hell's the quarterback? So I think he looks at Caleb Williams. He looks at the Bears situation. Like you said, the salary cap situation, that makes a lot more sense than the Raiders to go to the Bears. And you look at the NFC North, top to bottom, I think it's just going to get stronger. Because the Lions are still going to be relevant, obviously. You look at Green Bay, you look at the Vikings and all that, now the up-and-coming Bears. But, Mike, he's been a hot candidate. Ben John's been a hot candidate for now a couple of head coaching hiring cycles now. He could have been a head coach last year, but he chose to return to the Lions for another year. So that didn't surprise me. I think he looked at this situation. Now, the one thing, you know what, and Mike, you might be able to elaborate on this. The one thing where, you know what, the Bears have really struggled? Now, the quarterback can make the offensive line look better than they are. The Bears' offensive line has sucked. I'm not saying that the quarterback, because I know, I played it. The quarterback can make the offensive line look better than it really is, but they have not really gotten it done. And I think Ben Johnson could be a big part of turning it around in Chicago. Now, think about this. Turning around in Chicago, Mike, if you win, let's say you win, go 10-7, and you're in the postseason, you're not winning anything. But obviously, the Bears fans will look at it. We're finally relevant, and we may be playing in the postseason.
Yeah, Bob, I remember when Coach Ditko was here with the Saints and him telling me the story. He said, you know, Michael Jordan, the legend for what he did in Chicago. And he said, I'm not trying to take anything away from what Jordan and the Bulls did, but the greatest moment, you know, he said, you know, the Cubs are in a different league because, you know, the Cubs are the Cubs. But he said, take them out the picture. When we won the Super Bowl, the Bears, that magical year, I think that's the greatest moment in Chicago Bear history.
Well,
Chicago sports history. Now,
right.
I get what he's saying, but think about that team. Because you had to go against them in practice. Man, it was an exercise just to get a first down in practice, yeah. Much less a game. That was a special moment in time for the city of Chicago and for them to win an NFL championship.
Mike, we made practice against them in training camp in Platteville, Wisconsin. I was like, damn, we like the JUCO. We like the junior varsity versus the varsity. And I told you that. I said, I don't know if we score. I'm just hoping we could get two first downs in a row. I mean, it was 85 Bears was truly unbelievable. And look, okay, you got the Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah, they love hockey and all that. That's kind of a dark horse looking at the Blackhawks. Michael Jordan is the only reason why the Bulls have ever been relevant. But it's a town. It's a big city, like Los Angeles and New York. It's a big city that embraces the Cubs and the Bears. All I know is Saturday Night Live did not do a skit on the Cubs. They did it on the Bears. The Bears. I mean, think about that. No, the NFL would love nothing more than the Chicago Bears to be relevant. They hope the Jets and Giants, especially the Jets, more than even the Giants have been successful, for them to be relevant in the Big Apple. So Los Angeles, it doesn't matter. The Rams and Chargers and all that is good because a lot of people there. But I'm telling you, football country, Chicago and New York, listen, the NFL would love the Bears to be relevant. And when you think about this, Ben Johnson, Mike, if he could turn around the Bears, he'd be like the second coming of Mike Ditka.
I agree because I know it's football country there. In Los Angeles, you got to go to page 7 or 8
yeah.
in the L.A. Times to find out about them because you know why?
They were about the Lakers and Dodgers. And Lakers. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah,
that's number one. We'll be back to finish it off here on our number one of Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here, our number one on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTillia, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Want to tell everybody, be safe on the highway. And if you're all your information, hey, keep your dial tuned into the Big 870 WWL. We'll have you wall-to-wall coverage starting very early tomorrow morning right here on the Big 870 WWL. Unprecedented sort of winter event that we're going through, and we'll get you through the entire situation. So keep you dialed in to Big 870 WWL. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to the Second Guest Show. Mike DeTillia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're not at the Silver Slipper tonight due to the weather situation, and want to tell everybody, keep you dialed in to the Big 870 WWL. We'll start this coverage early tomorrow morning. That's when the weather starts to come in between 4 to 6 o'clock in the morning. And we'll give you wall-to-wall coverage of what is happening statewide, parish-wide. We'll talk to state, parish officials, city officials on what's happening. If you don't need to be out on the highway, please stay off of it. It is going to be a treacherous situation once the rain event, sleet, snow, ice, starts to come down. But I do know that there are people that have to be out on the highway. So just be careful when you're traveling and even tonight before the weather starts to kick in. And we'll have that coverage all day starting very early tomorrow morning. At 6:30 tonight, we'll go to Pelicans pregame. And at 7 o'clock, the Pels on a 3-game winning streak take on the Utah Jazz. And you can hear Graf make the call right here on the Big 870 WWL. Let's go, Bob, to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and I hope everyone is getting ready for the snowpocalypse, and that you guys will be safe, too, because I know y'all travel a little bit after this evening's show's over with. You know, guys, it's said that the NFC Divisional Playoff Round features the best football of the year, and I thought that the play of all eight teams in either conference was some of the best I've ever seen. And you know, there are two items that really stood out to me from this weekend's game. First of all, to the folks in Detroit, that was a great story. And, you know, you were really kind of sentimentally rooting for Detroit, especially, you know, in this town with the Saints out of it.
Right.
But, you know, but Detroit ran up against the fact that injuries and turnovers determine who goes on to the big game.
Well, you can't turn over the ball five times, Big John. I mean,
no, you can't do it.
And look at Jared Goff. Jared Goff, oh, we got to get, you know, people will be like a prisoner of the moment. Oh, we need a better quarterback than Jared Goff. Jared Goff has been outstanding for the Lions.
Outstanding all year long.
But not so much this game.
Well, he had a bad game.
I mean,
he was hurt too. I mean, and that's injuries. Now, look, Bobby, your point earlier. The second thing that I wanted to mention is that I understand the stats behind the stats.
Yeah,
and the fact that marquee players are going to sometimes get calls, but you know, the NFL when Washington last went to the Super Bowl is a lot different than the NFL today.
Amen.
And you know, given the current state of technology, the presence of social media, instant information, you know, what I saw happen on Saturday in Kansas City, you know, as well as in Buffalo when the officials failed to apply a very specific rule about pulling a player, this is compromising the game of professional football, in my opinion.
There's too much money involved. They got to get it right.
Yes, exactly.
Especially if you're in bed in the gambling industry.
Yeah.
That's the difference between when the officials used to let Jerry Rice and John Taylor score phantom touchdowns and threw flags on Toy Cook and Dave Waymer for breathing on them the wrong way, okay? It's the presence of sports betting on such a huge scale throughout the country has changed the game. And we could joke with Buddy back in the day on how Vegas influenced this call or that call or something. But you know, with the number of people, the owners, not Roger Goodell, who's not going to do a damn thing, okay?
Right.
But it's the owners need to look a little bit more past the tips of their noses and all the money they're making right now, this moment. And they got to decide once and for all that, first of all, they got to make the NFL officials full-time. I mean, we've been saying that for decades now. And second, remove those officials from the direct oversight of the NFL office. You need to put them independent. And then finally, let them devise a method where a review official can immediately advise whether a flag should have been thrown or if a flag that was thrown should be picked up.
And, you know, Big John, exactly like you're saying, and Mike, I mean, I don't know, is it roughing the passer or not, or it's not reviewable? I mean, it's like all of a sudden, I love Pat Mahomes, but he's a drama queen. And he's entitled.
He's milking the system.
Yes, he's milking the system. And sometimes, okay, to me, you need to be able to review that. You know, like we all know what happened to Nola No Call, and that was a one-hit wonder. And then, okay, whether it's interference or not. But to me, you got to get it right. There's too much money involved. To me, it's like, okay, they throw the flag rough in the pass. So that's not rough in the pass. So what are you talking about? So you look at, or if you missed a call, look with Jared Goff. I'm not saying when you look what occurred that they wouldn't eventually score, but Jared Goff gets jacked up. Now you got to get your head on a swivel as a quarterback, but that's a penalty.
It's still illegal.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get those kind of calls right. And you know, what's right is right, is wrong is wrong. And it just seems like the Chiefs.
And it shouldn't matter on your marketability to the rest of the play. You know, look,
Amen.
If he wants to do his discount double check and all that other kind of crap on advertising, yeah. Great. I'm all for protecting the product, but you got to protect the guy that's at the bottom of the roster as much as you protect the guy.
And you know what, Big John and Mike, you know what I think? The NFL would like nothing better. Because it's never happened before, the Chiefs to three-peat. You might think I'm crazy. The Chiefs, look, they
agree.
You know, they find a way to win. The Chiefs have not been dominant, but did you win or lose the game? You know, like, oh, look what they've actually accomplished this year. You got to give Andy Reid a lot of credit, and you look, they hang in there, but they find a way to win. Now you might say the calls are going their way, and it just looks shady that all of a sudden the NFL will like nothing more than the Chiefs to three-peat, because it's never happened. All the past history in the
all
NFL,
fine and good.
Yeah, right? If
that's
it's
all
legit,
fine and good, but
if it's legit. Appearance,
not
right.
Not only if it's legit, but it's the appearance of impropriety. We say that all the time in big business, the appearance of impropriety. And the NFL seems to just not have a problem with the appearance of impropriety. And that's going to affect that's going to be a long-term effect on that, on this product.
Guys, I think we've all watched this, but the gambling industry has certainly turned everything more of a stronger focus on it. But man, for years, weren't people saying, man, Tom Brady, he get every call if you breathe on him hard. The flag comes out. Peyton Manning, oh, man, he can't hardly go downfield. If he's touched, he goes down. That's a penalty. We saw it in basketball, if it was Michael Jordan or if it was Larry Bird or if it was Magic. Certain calls went their way. But now I think under the scrutiny and also social media, where you can get an instant replay and you can break it down Zapruder-like, like frame by frame, man, you got to get these calls right. There's kind of cut it here. That's why a Sky Booth official has to be part of the NFL in the future.
Yeah, there's too much money involved, and you got to get it right. And as we go on a break, let me tell you, Big John and Mike, and Charlie, everybody, the Houdan Nation, let me tell you, you know what? I don't know how you legislate this. You might say, well, I don't want them necessarily to have those chunk runs, or they might want them to have those chunk runs. Saquon Barkley, if you look at what he's done, now, you don't think he wants to play the Rams? He's the greatest running back in pro football history against the Rams. If you look at what actually occurred, now this is even going back to November, against the Rams, talk about big plays, chunk plays, splash plays. Barkley has touchdown runs of 70 and 72 yards in a regular season. In the postseason, he has touchdown runs of 78 and 62 yards. He finished with 205 yards rushing. You might want to tweak that, or how can maybe not be so favorable to Saquon Barkley. All I know is you got to tackle him. Look at those four runs that he's had against the Rams. In NFL history, I don't know if I've ever witnessed that in two games, regular season, postseason, what Saquon Barkley did to the Rams. That is beyond chunk splash plays. That dictates the outcome of the game.
Bob, if he was playing the Rams twice a year, they'd already be carving his bust for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Thanks so much for the call, Big John. We appreciate it. When we come back, we'll have on with us Dalton Wesserman. Dalton covers the college football game and certainly the national championship game for Pro Football Focus. We'll have Dalton on right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTelle along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. He's the co-host of Pro Football Focus College Football Show. He's also Pro Football Focus's data analysis man, Dalton Wesserman. Dalton, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, anytime, anytime. It's going to be a great day to watch a football game tonight, huh?
Yeah, sure enough. Dalton, I thought about this after Ohio State, you know, they beat Texas, and that was a great game to watch, and then they caught them late. But Manning Passing Academy in July, I'm sitting down talking to Will Howard, and he's explaining to me, you know, the process of how he, you know, transferred from Kansas State to Ohio State. And I said, what's the goal this year? And very bluntly he was, it is national championship or bust for this team. Now, I thought that, I'm surprised he said it, because a lot of times in today's world, man, these guys, they're politically correct. They're not going to go out of their way to tell you something. But Will Howard, he was upfront about, hey, this is a disappointing season if we don't win a national championship. He's got a chance tonight to come and seal the deal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think he says that because you look at all of the NFL-caliber talent on this Ohio State team all over their all over their roster, whether it's a freshman or a senior or anything in between. I think it's reasonable to expect that, right? And I think Will Howard was actually the biggest question mark at the beginning of the season. They brought back a ton of NFL talent on their defense. They brought back weapons. They got two great backs. You have a true freshman freak in Jeremiah Smith at receiver. And Howard was really the key to it all, and especially down the stretch outside of the Michigan game. He's played fantastic all season and honestly made a big improvement from his days at Kansas State, a better drop-back passer than he's ever been, and been a huge key to this run in the postseason, especially using all his weapons at his disposal and reading defenses the right way. So, no, Howard's had a fantastic year, and I think he's absolutely right to think that with as much talent as this team had, that was the idea behind all of those guys that came back that could have went in the draft last year. Coming back this year is that, they, look, we have enough talent to win a national title, and now they're 60 minutes from doing it.
You know, Dalton, when I look at it, this is kind of old school. Defense wins championships. And I thought this was kind of ironic when I read this. The Buckeyes ranked first nationally in points allowed per game, basically giving up 12 points a game. Notre Dame is second, giving up 14 points a game. And four of the past eight national championships led the country in scoring defense. So when you look at that, and both have allowed more than 30-plus points just once this season. So when you think of the defense, now has Notre Dame really faced the explosiveness of Ohio State when they're clicking? But then I look at it's one game. It's not a series, kind of like what you even see in the NFL. The Fighting Irish have a chance if they can win the turnover battle. They're plus 17. Ohio State is plus 5. So who can maybe take it away or protect the football? Then you look at, like I said, scoring defense. So it could come into play and the outcome. Because you know what I don't want? I don't want a blowout. And bear with me here. I'm looking at, in the numbers and people who don't have a dog in the hunt. Well, I don't care about the Irish or Ohio State, but I like college football. I like football in general. The games have not been close. You look, the last time games have actually been close was played in Atlanta in 2017, season when Alabama beat Georgia. I remember that game, 26-23 in overtime. And you look, since the past six championship games have been decided by an average of 20 points. That's what I don't want to see. I don't care who wins. I just want it to be a close game down to the wire. And do you think the defense will come into play, like I mentioned earlier? I know it's a long-winded question, but go ahead, Dave. Dalton.
I think if it is going to be a close game, you're going to get that defensive game you're looking at between arguably the two best defenses in the country. I would put Texas in that category too, but that's, I think, the game that Notre Dame especially wants to play, right? I don't know that Notre Dame is capable of getting up into the 30s in this game. They've really been scratching for offense, especially the past two games against Georgia and Penn State, right? And I know they got 27 against Penn State, but the big thing for Notre Dame, when they've been able to score, it's when they've been able to get turnovers. You mentioned it. I believe they have the most takeaways in the country this season. The secondary is fantastic.
Right.
And I think if Notre Dame is going to win this, they're going to have to keep, but both of these teams are going to be under 24 points. I don't see Notre Dame scoring a ton of points, but if they can force turnovers, if they can cover at the elite level in the secondary like they have been all season, they've just been fantastic in the secondary. Even young kids like Leonard Moore, Christian Gray at corner, Xavier Watts at safety. That's when you talk about this game starts turning in Notre Dame's favor and you're getting in a close game, a close defensive game, something like 20-17, 23-20. That's where they prefer it to be. If this game gets up in the 30s, at least especially for Ohio State, I think then Notre Dame has a real problem. But if you get a tight game, it's going to be a very defensive game with, you got NFL-style playmakers on both sides of the ball. So it could turn into that. These are two fantastic defenses that could go back and forth throwing haymakers.
Now, when I look at this, because I think he's a phenom. Jeremiah Smith. It's all about a freshman that's on a different level. But then what happened against Texas? Now, they held him to 3 yards on one catch. They shaded the coverage to him over the top, in and out bracket type coverage or short and long. Had an extra defender on him. Now, he was only targeted 3 times. Then he said, I was more of a decoy, but they won 28-14. What do you think, if you had to ask me right now, does Jeremiah Smith have a big game? The reason why I say that, because Notre Dame said they're not changing. They play man-to-man. I think if they play man-to-man with no help with Jeremiah Smith, they're getting burned. I think you got to take more of the Texas approach. You're trying to defend him. But you look at top to bottom, Ohio State, they're like 3 deep at wide receiver. So pick your poison. What is your take on that, Dalton?
No, I absolutely agree. I think you said it right when you talked about Notre Dame playing more man coverage than any team in the country. And that's because they're elite at it, right? And I think there's kind of a paradox here where I think there's nobody that sticks to their identity more so than Notre Dame, and it's gotten them this far, right? So I still expect them to go heavy man-to-man. Maybe they mix in some more zone looks because you mentioned Texas. Texas is a heavy, heavy zone team, right? And they adjust their zone windows, you know, based on their game plan every week. And that's exactly what they did to Jeremiah. Two or three guys had their eyeballs on him on every single play, right? They were going to make Ohio State beat them with somebody else. If Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman, if they feel like, listen, we have the best corners in the country, we have the best man coverage in the country, we can cover them one-on-one, maybe Notre Dame is just the only team capable of doing it. Ohio State doesn't see a lot of man coverage because you know they're that talented, right? But I think there is every opportunity for Jeremiah to have a huge game here. Press man coverage against this Notre Dame team that usually doesn't back off of it. It's worked for them so far, but this is their toughest test yet. It's going to be very interesting to see, I think, especially on the first drive or two of this game, how Notre Dame comes out in coverage. Do they stick to their guns and go with a lot of cover one, or do they mix it up a little bit and maybe go with some zone blitzes and some different things maybe that Texas used? Because Texas did do a really nice job of making Ohio State beat them with other players, and Ohio State found a way to do that, and they beat them with their defense, of course.
Dalton, one of the things for Notre Dame to win, you got to have a big game from Riley Leonard. And, you know, he has been a really good, if you want to call it a dual threat guy, because he's made a lot of plays running the football. And for me, Notre Dame's key to victory is, yeah, you got to continue to play really good defense, but Riley Leonard becomes the man. He's the straw that turns the drink for them offensively, and he's got to have a big game, not only as a passer, but also his threat as a runner.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we've seen at least two or three games this year where, you know, the few times where Notre Dame's running backs didn't exactly explode with production, Riley Leonard's legs are the equalizer, right? And you think about it schematically, you talk about the quarterback run game, you know, by design, it changes the numbers game. And against, you know, different defensive fronts, I think about the Louisville game, the Georgia game, even against Penn State a little bit, they found a way to equalize the numbers and get that hat-on-hat football going because they had Riley Leonard carrying the ball and being involved in the play and then getting your lead, you know, lead blockers, the running backs blocking in front of them. You change the numbers, right? I think it's going to be a big factor tonight. I think if they're going to win tonight, he's got to have probably around 15 carries, if not more, because you just need him to be able to grind it down. And he's very hard to tackle. He's really athletic. He's hard to tackle. And that's going to be a big thing. The read option game is going to be big. And I think the design run game, they've run a lot of design quarterback powers and counters and things like that that change the numbers up front. Because if you walk in there and you just try to, against Ohio State, just try to run traditionally and run your base day one run plays against this NFL defensive line, you're going to have an issue. So I think Leonard's legs do play a massive part in this game if Notre Dame's going to consistently move the ball down the field.
Now, Dalton, you know, everyone likes when something occurs for the first time. And you look at it, we're going to have a coach, you know, who would win his first national championship this season. You know, you look at Ryan Day or Marcus Freeman. And you look at Marcus Freeman, a great opportunity, first African-American coach to win a national championship. But somebody, Ryan Day, you might say, well, I can't beat Michigan, but I'm a national champ. So that's interesting what's going to happen there. But you look, Nick Saban retired from Alabama. Then you got Kirby Smart, what he established now at Georgia. Dabo Sweeney at Clemson. You know, Mack Brown, the only active college football head coaches with national titles. Now, Day has gotten close previously, reaching the college football playoff three times and national championship game once in 5 years. Now, the Fighting Irish has not been in national championship game since 2012 under Coach Kelly. Who's with LSU right now? Who do you think this would mean more to? Would it be Ryan Day or Marcus Freeman? Because, you know, we're always like, oh, this is the first time this ever happened. But I think Ryan Day, all of a sudden, you look at that Ohio State fan base. We didn't beat Michigan. What have you done for me lately against the Michigan Wolverines? They hate Michigan. But I'm a national champion. And then you look at Marcus Freeman, what he's been able to accomplish or would accomplish at Notre Dame, where Brian Kelly said, I have to leave South Bend to be able to win a championship. That's why he came to LSU. Break that down, because that's a lot right there. What's on the line for Ryan Day, Marcus Freeman?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Day. I mean, honestly, I think considering the expectations Ohio State had coming into this season, and obviously another Michigan loss was a massive black eye, right, to Ryan Day's reputation. They've lost four in a row, and it's been a whole big thing. So, you know, any year without a Michigan win and without a national title, you know, in some circles it's considered a failure for Ohio State. So if he was to get this done, at least he would fulfill that part of the expectations. And they can work on the Michigan thing later. Because, yeah, I remember it was probably a month ago where a lot of people in Columbus wanted Ryan Day out of there. And now they've bounced back from that potentially to win a title and get the season-long goal done and get their first national title in 10 years. And I think it's a big weight off of his shoulders. Now, is he still going to want to beat Michigan next season? Absolutely. But I think with their talent base and the talent they have coming in there every year, Ohio State feels like they should be able to build a dynasty with all the talent they consistently have coming through. But Ryan Day has got to win the big games, right? So I think it would be a little bit bigger for him. As far as Freeman goes, I mean, I think they expected to make the playoff this year. I'm not sure they exactly, even with Riley Leonard, expected to win a national title and what it would do for his program. I think win or lose what it's going to do for his program anyway, you know, getting even more elite talent in there, because there's still a couple of weaknesses on this team, you know, roster-wise. If they start getting even more elite talent in there, you could see Notre Dame, especially with the money that they bring in as an independent, you could see them really starting to get in near, at least near this spot every single year in the Final Four or in the Final Eight, right? And they just have to continue to build that talent base. But Marcus Freeman, I think the thing you got to love about him, he knows what he wants this program to look like, and this is really the ideal scenario. He's 60 minutes from a national title win. Either way, they've done it their way to have a clear, defined identity. I don't think that's going away. I think it means a little more today considering the preseason expectations, but it would be huge, obviously, for both programs.
One thing I'll say, Dalton, if Marcus Freeman wins this game tonight, he becomes the superstar head coach in college football. From how quick a job he turned that program, and not that Brian Kelly didn't have some building blocks there, but to take this to a national championship, and the last guy to win it was Lou Holtz, he becomes the superstar coach in college football with a W tonight.
Well, you know, Don, like Mike's saying, he's a double minority. Bobby, what are you talking about? He has a chance to become the first black coach to win a national championship. He's also the first Asian coach to play for the title. His mom's South Korean. So he's a black South Korean. Whoever thought of that? And to be a national champion this day and age? Come on. That could go a long way.
No, absolutely. I mean, it would be monumental. And you mentioned him being the superstar of college football. You're darn right. I mean, especially in a game here where he's a heavy underdog. And you talk about the programs that he's beaten along the way, right? Obviously an upstart Indiana program, but beating Kirby Smart along the way, beating a Penn State team along the way that was kind of considered to be in that same position as Notre Dame is like, okay, you're a playoff team, you're a top 10 team, but you're not the number one team in any given year. Now, if you get over that hump and you build that momentum with the talent that Notre Dame can bring in, and as much as they buy into that program, I mean, no, it could really change the course of college football as we know it. You know, Ohio State, we know they're an elite team every year. They're in the Final Four darn near every single season. I don't want to say it would be status quo. It would be a big deal, but we know Ohio State's going to be in this spot a lot or somewhere near it. Notre Dame could really upend the power structure, and Marcus Freeman, we've already, you know, before the Bears just hired Ben Johnson, we heard rumors about them maybe wanting to interview Freeman. You know, you win a national title at Notre Dame, all of a sudden you're a deity up there, right? And you start talking about, boy, they never want you to leave. You could be there forever, and like you mentioned, you'd be a superstar alongside, you know, the Kirby Smarts and Dabo Sweeney's and guys who have won titles, the very few guys remaining who have won titles, because there's still that void from Nick Saban to fill, and maybe Marcus Freeman's young enough that he could fill that at Notre Dame, but getting this first one tonight as a big-time underdog would be huge for him.
Dalton, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and your insights, and I hope it's a close game. I got a feeling it won't be, but I hope it's a close game.
Yes, I just want it to be a close game. I like that Georgia-Alabama game. We all remember that in the overtime. I mean, something like that.
That'd be a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys, as always. Enjoy the game.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dalton
Wasserman, who does a great job, co-host of the Pro Football Focus college football show. You can hear it out on Sirius Radio Network. When we come back, Bobby and I will talk about Mike McCarthy, Aaron Glenn. Looks as those two guys will have some major decisions to be made over the next 72, 96 hours. Right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bob, with Ben Johnson taking the job with the Chicago Bears, just technically hadn't signed anything yet. Kind of break it down from your point of view of it's going to come down to one of these two guys. Mike McCarthy, former Dallas Cowboy head coach, and Aaron Glenn, who is going to interview with the Jets officially tomorrow. Looks as though the Saints will try to get him in afterwards. But I think the Jets will try to seal that deal and try to get him to sign tomorrow and get that commitment from Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn's going to have his choice here. But break down from your point of view, Aaron Glenn and Mike McCarthy.
Well, I'll look at Aaron Glenn. He knows what the hell he's doing, and the players can relate to him. You know, he finished his career with the Saints, but that's where he put his hay in the barn, playing for the New York Jets as a player. Now, like I said, the players respect him. The only thing I think most fans in Houdat Nation, they want to go more on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know, you know, in this day and age, 21st century in the 2020s, we like more, I guess, offensive coaches than defensive coaches. The bottom line, if you win, you might say, well, Bobby, just sign an outstanding leader of men. It could be a defensive coordinator as the head coach if you got the right offensive coordinator running your offense. But I just look at Aaron Glenn's defenses. You know, they finished near the bottom of the NFL in total defense. This is not an opinion. Now, you might say, well, they've dealt with injuries. Yes, I know that and all that. But Aaron Glenn's defenses have ranked 29th, dead last, 32nd, 19th, and then scoring defenses, they've been one before last, 31st, 28th, and 23rd defensively. Now, in 2024, I think it was an outstanding job what he did. He navigated the injuries in some of his best players to lead the NFL's number seven scoring defense. So, yeah, look to Aaron Glenn. I know the players respond to him. But is that enough what we need? Aaron Glenn, look at Dennis Allen. Look at Vic Fangio. He's an outstanding defensive coordinator. Then worked with Miami and he worked with, you know, with the Philadelphia Eagles. I look at, you know, like Dennis Allen. My understanding, he might be the defensive coordinator now with the Chicago Bears. I'm telling you, it's going to work out. That doesn't mean you could be a head coach. And I think Aaron Glenn is an outstanding leader of men, but I want more security as far as who's going to be my head coach. Now, the one thing about Aaron Glenn, you look at his background, like a long history with the Saints organization, both as a player in 2008, Sean Payton was the head coach, and then an assistant coach from 2016 to 20, and now, like I said, he's in his fourth season as a Lions coordinator. And I talked about the scoring defense, where they finished. So what have you done for me lately? That goes a long way you know, Aaron Glenn, where he's at. You might say, well, how do you feel firsthand, whether it be a player or a head coach, evaluating a particular coach? All I know, Dan Campbell, we all respect him. And he says about Aaron Glenn, he's as good as a coach as you could find. He's even a better human being. Houdat Nation don't care if you're a better human being. You just got to win. If nobody wants it, I'll take him to run the Lions defense again. I can tell you that right now. But the thought of going through another cycle, if he's not somebody's head coach, that is ridiculous. That is Dan Campbell. Now on to Mike McCarthy. I might be a little late. I got another minute on this. I'm looking at Mike McCarthy. I look at the skins on the wall. Mike McCarthy has won a Super Bowl. They don't give you that. You have to earn it. As the Green Bay head coach, if you look at that, winning a Super Bowl, and then he's now, you look at his Cowboy teams and with the Packers and all that, in five seasons, 84-49. You know, even though that's only 1-3 mark in the playoffs, McCarthy has ties to New Orleans, obviously having spent five seasons as the Saints offensive coordinator from 2000 to 2004. And then you look at a testimonial And I respect Dak Prescott. This is what he says about Mike McCarthy. I believe in him wholeheartedly. The guy's won a Super Bowl. There's not many guys or coaches who have done that. To have him, to have one, that could do it from experience. I know how valuable he's been for me developing me as a quarterback. I'm going to leave you with this as we go into the break. If I look at short-term and potential long-term, and if I look at Derek Carr being the quarterback, I think that Coach McCarthy brings a lot more stability. Mike McCarthy brings a lot more stability for us to win or have a chance next season and even the next couple of seasons. So that's why right now I would go with Mike McCarthy over an Aaron Glenn, simply because he's been there and done that. But you might say, well, Avery, you're an old dude. You're just for the old cats and all that. No. I'm looking at an offensive coach versus a defensive coach. I think Mike McCarthy, wherever he ends up, because supply and demand, not enough players, not enough quarterbacks, not enough coaches, Mike McCarthy will win. I think he can win with the Saints. What does it mean, will win? I don't know. To get to double-digit wins, can we be like Tampa Bay, get to 10 wins, be 10-7? Doesn't mean you're winning anything, but at least you're in the hunt. That's what I think Mike McCarthy can bring to the table.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 Second Guest Show. When we come back, we'll have on with us Ali Cosell, who covers the NBA and New Orleans Pelicans. 3-game winning streak. Can they make it 4 tonight against the Jazz? We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break. Welcome back to the Second Guest Show. Mike Dettelier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Want to tell everybody at 6:30 tonight, it'll be Pelicans pregame right here on the Big 870 WWL. And at 7 o'clock tip-off, as the Pels go for their fourth straight win playing the Utah Jazz, they got a legitimate shot here to make it 4 in a row. And you can hear Graf with the call right here on the Big 870 WWL. Also, keep your dial tuned in to WWL all day tomorrow with continuous coverage of the weather event, where we're going to get rain, sleet, snow, and we'll give you wall-to-wall coverage from all across the state with parish officials, state officials, city officials, everything you need to know. If you don't need to be on the highway, please stay off of it. It is going to be treacherous once this weather event starts, and it'll probably start anywhere between 4 and 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. But, hey, WWL will be there on the dial giving you all the information. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, he covers the NBA and the New Orleans Pelicans, Ali Cosell. Ali, thanks so much for joining us here on Second Guest. Hey, listen, I think it's the first time since October I can tell you this. Man, the Pelicans got a real legit chance to win 4 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the best part of the year, seemingly, right, for Pelicans fans. Such a terrible start, all those injuries. You were wondering if they could even win a game just several weeks ago. Now, yeah, to your point, going for 4 straight, and really it's 7 wins in their last 10 if they can get this win tonight, which looks very likely, right? Utah's going to be very shorthanded again.
Yeah, Ollie, when I look at and then you look at rotation and the bench play and all that, who comes in, I mean, to me that was significant. You look at Jose, you know, coming off the bench, helped close out the game. When you're hot, you're hot. Buried 4 of what is 6 three-pointers. You look at that finish with 19 points. And then you look at Jordan Hawkins. Scored 11 points. He had 3 three-pointers. The question I have for you is that is Brandon Ingram, when he's put into the game, does he play hard or what? Because now Murphy, who was coming off the bench, is now starting in place of Brandon Ingram. How do you break that down? Because, you know, you might say, we're a team. It's not golf or tennis. So we're playing as a team. But is Brandon Ingram pouting? Well, what's your take on this, considering that they're going with Murphy? And Trey Murphy, and well-deserved, I should say, in the starting lineup. So break that down, where we at right now with the Pels.
Yeah, so, Bobby, look, fortunately, I guess, for this situation, Brandon Ingram's still likely probably at least several weeks away, right? He's still rehabbing. Seen him now doing some light jogging, but he's not yet to any kind of full contact, right? So he's still got to get through that in practices and such outside of game time. But once that time does come, you're right. If nobody else goes down with injury, and, you know, that's very likely a scenario for this team. But if it doesn't happen, I don't think you can remove Trey from the starting lineup anymore. A month ago, yes. But the way Trey's been playing, say, just for the last month, he's averaging, what, over the last 12 games, about 26 points a game, putting up ridiculous shooting numbers as always. But now he looks like an all-star because he's getting to the rim, getting to the free throw line, game-saving block in the last game, win in Chicago, game-saving steal. So he's doing everything his part that I think, like I said, he's cemented his spot. What I think it'll come down to, honestly, CJ, right? Even though CJ's still playing at a good clip, still, right, averaging over 20 points a game, making those threes, you've got to wonder, is this time maybe where CJ moves to kind of that sixth man off the bench, and then you put B.I.
Okay.
as a starter? Because it's impossible to imagine, right, you sitting down Brandon Ingram as a reserve when he's been the face of your franchise for a few years now.
Molly, one of the things that you got to look at with Trey, man, he's on the verge of being a star player in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's right there on the edge. Okay, if people say, well, that was a goaltending. Well, if they don't call it, it's not a goaltend.
Exactly.
It should have been, but it wasn't. But my thing is, when you look on this roster, his growth over the last couple years has been remarkable as a shooter. Man, year one, they looked like they had plywood over the top of the goal. He couldn't hit anything. Now, he sent him back down. He came back up after that little bit of short stay, I think, in Alabama. Came back up. Mm-hmm. He is really developing into what you want to call a borderline star in the NBA today.
I think that's a legitimate description. It really is. First 3 years, last year even, maybe even the first few weeks of this season once he started playing again, coming off his injury, you still saw a good player, right? But he was not a player that could get his shot off without help, right? That's why we saw so many games last year and even start this year where he's playing, what, 30, 32, 35 minutes a game and yet finishing the night with 9, 10, 11 shot attempts. And it's simply because if you drape them with a defender, basically just have somebody, one opponent just chase you all around, well, Trey wasn't going to be able to get his shot, wasn't going to be able to impact you offensively. But that's all changed. He's now, I think it's been partially one, his skill has developed, right? That ball handling, that's really developed. But the other thing is probably more so it's his confidence. Because, you know, for the last 3 years, I'm watching him outside of games, in practices. And he can actually handle the ball pretty well, but we never saw it, right, in games. But now he's putting it down. Whenever some defender's flying at him or not giving him space from three, he's going right around him, getting to the rim, throwing down dunks, right? 10% of his shots are dunks. So it's not like he's just moving that step or two in from the three-point line, shooting up jumpers like, say, maybe a Jordan Hawkins or C.J. McCollum. No, he's taking all the way to the rim. And what you love is with that aggression, he's also getting fouled a lot. And it's so important in these days to where you get easy points. And really, the Pelicans have relied so long on Zion Williamson, right, to be able to generate those, either with layups or getting the free throw line. They really haven't had that dependable second guy getting that free throw line, right? Dicing up defenses. Brandon, you know, for as great as he's been when he's been on, is the fact that he's, because of his frame, he just can't get around enough guys, right? He's not fast enough, not strong enough. But Trey is. So, yeah, I think we're honestly, guys, seeing a burgeoning star. I really believe it. He thinks he can make the All-Star game next year. I wouldn't bet against it.
Now, Ollie, what's your take on Zion? I don't know how you manage or when he's playing. Okay, you're not going to play back-to-backs, and then all of a sudden, is he available, not available? I don't know. He got a sniffle. He's sick or something. I mean, it's unbelievable because when Zion plays, he's hell when he's well. That's unbelievable. That if you just look at like a month full of games, is Zion, you truly have to question, is he available or he's not available? I understand the back-to-backs, but it just seems like, I don't know, but he's like the definition of a prima donna.
Well, look, Bobby, let's face it. Since he's come to New Orleans, his career has just been maddening, right, for the average fan to follow.
Right.
Because he's played in easily less than half of the games that he could have played in his career so far, right? Took off a year completely, and there's been other years where he's played just a handful of games, it felt like. Like a couple of years ago, he was on that MVP campaign. Pelicans were tied for first right in the West, and he goes down with a hamstring injury, and boy, there she wrote.
right.
season and, of course, the Pelicans season. So that's the problem. You see the talent, right? And especially now, that's what's different, at least about him now. He came back from injuries in the past. You could tell he was out of shape. He needed to work himself back in the groove, what have you. But this time around, this is the best shape I've ever seen him, guys.
Right.
From the rookie season to really pick any season, yep. this is the best we've ever seen Zion. Coming off an injury, that's impressive. But at the same time, you just mentioned it. He's missing a game here, missing a game there. And, of course, the suspension because of him being tardy, right, for a flight, being tardy for practices. It's amazing that we have to talk about that for a guy that's a star, legitimate star, in year six. I don't know if he'll ever figure it out completely. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's really tough and really sad to see because this organization is really has pinned so much of their hopes on Zion.
Yes.
Ollie, thanks so much for joining us tonight, man. Really appreciate it. And stay safe out there.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, Bobby, and Charlie. You guys make sure you guys are safe the next 2 days, too. It sounds like it's going to be a bad, bad event here.
All right, Ollie. Yeah, it's snowing. It's snowing.
It.
Oh, we're just not used to the snow in New Orleans. Come on. I lived in Michigan. I lived in Michigan 2 years. I was like, oh, they put salt in the road. We don't have snow plows or enough salt maybe to go around. So, but just stay at home. And the main thing is you don't want electricity to go out. That's the main thing because not too many people have fireplace and all that, and then you have to bundle up.
Yeah, it's tough. And, man, once it gets cold in the house, it stays cold. We'll be back to finish off here on Second Guess right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing it up here on the Second Guess Show. Mike Dettay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long in studio. Want to tell everybody, hey, listen, keep your dial tuned in to the Big 870 WWL. We'll start early tomorrow morning giving you wall-to-wall coverage of the weather, sleet, snow event that will happen all across South Louisiana. Be careful on the roads. Also, stay warm out there. Guys, y'all take care of one another.
And, you know, Mike, right quick, you know, Jayden Daniels. We're all on that Jayden Daniels bandwagon. I'm looking at rookie quarterbacks to start a title game and where their team scoring defenses rank. Brock Purdy, number one. Mark Sanchez, number three. Joe Flacco, number three. Ben Roethlisberger, number one. Sean King, number three. Jayden Daniels, his defense, number 18. That's why it's so special what Jayden Daniels has done. Look at that as a rookie. Hello, you got to give props to that.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You just can't grasp what he's done in year one. Hey, we'd be throwing it to the Pelicans Radio Network. Pelicans pregame with Gus Kattengill, 7 o'clock. It'll be Pelicans and the Utah Jazz with Gus making the handoff out to the center, and you can see maybe it's four in a row right here on the Big 870.